Our scripture reading this morning is found in Proverbs chapter 22. We'll read that entire chapter. Our text is found in the sixth verse. Proverbs 22. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out, yea, strife and reproach shall cease. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. The mouth of strange women is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee? Rob not the poor, because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause, and spoil the soul of those that spoiled them. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Be not thou one of them that strike hands, or of them that are sureties for debts. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. That far we read in God's holy inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. The text that we consider is that sixth verse of chapter 22, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, children are a blessing from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. We're reminded of that when we baptize infants, when we baptize little Joey this morning. We're reminded that children are a blessing from the Lord, but with those blessings that God gives, there is also responsibility that came out in the baptism form as well. We have a responsibility because ultimately everything that God gives us is not our own, and that also applies to the children that God puts in our families. We ourselves belong to God, body and soul, in life and in death. But so also do our children. We belong to God by virtue of creation. God has created us, but we also, in a special way, belong to God, we and our elect children, because we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And now God entrusts us. Speaking specifically of parents, God entrusts us with children, and He calls us to train up those children, to lead those children into His ways for His name's sake. What a great responsibility God gives us as parents. Train up a child in the way he should go. Do we not all fall short of that, parents? We're called to train up our children. We all fall short of that. And that's exactly why we need to be instructed. Why the Holy Spirit gives us such a passage to encourage us to press on in the race and to encourage us to continue to train up our children in the way they should go. Train them up because we are thankful. Train them up in God's ways because we are thankful that God has brought us into that way. Train our children up because we are thankful that we belong to Jesus Christ, and we want also our children to be blessed in Jesus Christ. When we are thankful, we will set ourselves to train up our children in the way they should go. That applies to parents, but the text is also more general. Train up a child. The text also applies to the church. We, as a congregation, ought to seek to train up our children in the way they should go. And to the degree that they are trained, to that degree they will be prepared to walk in God's ways, to serve God in the whole of their lives. I want to take the text then under the theme, training up a child, first noting the calling that God gives us as parents and as a congregation. Secondly, the way in which we are to train them. And lastly, the promise that the text gives, the promise that is sure and that God will fulfill, not because we are worthy, but for Christ's sake. God calls the church, and in particular, God calls us parents to train up our children. And is it not the desire of every covenant parent that our children would walk in God's ways? third John, the third epistle of John, in verse 4 says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That's the desire of every Christian parent. We have joy that our children walk in the truth. We want our children to walk in the truth. Now, there are those, certainly in the world, probably in the church world as well, there are those who fail to recognize how needful it is for us to teach and instruct our children. There are those who have the idea that our children will learn by themselves. And maybe some think as parents, well, what our job is to let them explore and learn everything for themselves. Even by experience, they will learn many things. And others think, certainly in the world, they think we must not indoctrinate our children with our own ideas, but rather simply let them make up their own minds what is the right way in which they ought to walk. Let them come to their own conclusions after they investigate all the different ways for themselves. But the fact is, children, I'm speaking very broadly now, children are not able to think through things properly. Children are naive. They don't understand all the ins and outs of life. And that's certainly true for the youngest children. It's certainly true for toddlers. They don't understand life the way their parents do. A toddler may understand that at the end of a prayer he says amen, and he may be able to say the amen, but don't talk to a toddler about marriage and what marriage is about and the responsibilities and duties of marriage. They don't have the understanding. That's true for toddlers, but now you can also take that through to young people and young adults. They don't have, you young adults and young people don't have all the understanding that could be had. There still is need for instruction. And now a young person and young adult, you can see that they have grown. Now they don't just say amen to a prayer. Now they can say a prayer themselves. They can confess their sins. They can look to Jesus Christ for forgiveness. They can pray to God for all the needs of your bodies and souls, you young people and young adults. And you know about marriage, but there is still room to grow. Children, whether infants all the way to young people, and I'm not going to call them children, but the word child in the text is a broad word that even includes young adults. The Hebrew word includes everything from the youngest infant to a young adult who is of marriageable age. And then the text says, train up those children. Train them up. That's what the text calls us as parents to do. Train them up when they are infants. Train them up when they are toddlers. Train them up when they are young people. Train them up and continue that training as long as we are able. And the idea of that word, train up, is to initiate. Usually, if you take a concordance and you look through a concordance, you find that word usually is translated dedicate, and it's used to say dedicate a temple. Solomon dedicated the temple, but the idea of dedicating it is initiating it for a proper use. And that's the idea of our word in the text. Train up, initiate our children unto a certain way of life. And now think of our children standing at the opening of the pathway of life. And we want our children to walk down the right way. We want to set them in the right direction from their youngest years to say, that's the wrong direction. Don't go in that direction. Go in the right direction. We want to instill in our children the principles that they need in order to be faithful servants. Instill in them the principles of the gospel, instill to them the knowledge of their sin and how they ought to understand that they yet have the old man, instill into them so that they might know they are yet prone to all kinds of sin. Instill in them the knowledge that they need Jesus Christ, not just once in their life, but we need Jesus Christ and His grace every day of our lives. We need the grace of forgiveness. We need the grace of sanctification. We want to instill in our children those principles because we want them to walk in a certain way, in the right way. We want to equip them to be faithful servants of the Most High God. We want to initiate them along the right way before they go out on their own. The training that we give our children, and there is wrong training and right training, but if we give them wrong training, we're teaching them to follow their own ways, and they'll end up setting up all kinds of idols for themselves. But if we train them in the right way, we're seeking for them to walk in the service of God. We're trying, and we want God to use those labors to initiate them as servants of God. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And there's a difference between the way that a child should go and the way that a child would go if he was left to himself. The way a child would go, if he was left to himself and apart from the grace of God, the way he would go is the way of disobedience. It would be the way of wandering away from God. That's the natural way. Proverbs 29:15 tells us about that. It says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And that's because foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And what does foolishness do? Foolishness leads them in the wrong way. So the Holy Spirit tells us, train up a child in the way he should go. Well, what way is that? The secular training that some people give, that's not what the inspired writer is talking about. The inspired writer, when he says train up a child in the way he should go, is not telling us to train up our children to be good at mathematics and political theory or any other number of subjects. He's not telling us even to train up our children so that they have all kinds of everyday skills, common sense. That kind of instruction, to be sure, is useful. It's good for us to give that instruction to our children. We want them to learn their mathematics. We want them to learn writing. We want them to have those skills, especially the young men who will have to provide for families, Lord willing, one day. Those skills are important, but that's not the point of the text. It's not saying train them up in that way, but train them up in the way they should go. Train them up in the way of holiness, in the way of devoting them to the service of God. Train them up in a way that they want to give glory to God. Whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. We want that to be in the hearts of our children, and that way is the way of righteousness. Well, how do we know that way? What's the standard to tell us what is that way? Is that just something we come up with ourselves? And the answer, of course, is we don't come up with it ourselves. But God gives us the standard when He gives us His Word. The standard is not the unbelieving culture that surrounds us. Well, this is the way everybody does it. That's not the way. That's not how we determine what way to train up our children in. It's not the culture that surrounds us that determines the right way. We have only to look at the transgender movement to see what way the world is leading the youth into. That's not the way. God's Word is the way. We want to lead our children, initiate them in the right way as shown to us in the Word of God. By God's grace, we want our children to shape every aspect of their lives according to the Word of God, so that God's Word is not just something to open up on Sunday, but rather that this Word guides in every aspect, every decision, according to is made according to the principles of God's Word, His inspired Word. Because the Scriptures point us to what we must know. We must know about our sins and sinfulness. We must know that God is a God of justice and that He must punish sin. But then we must also know Jesus Christ, the only Savior. And then we must know the way of showing our thankfulness. The way of thankfulness in which we seek to bring honor and glory to God. In a life of good works, the way is the way of good works in the highest sense of the word, not just outwardly good works, but truly good works. That's the way we want our children to walk in. We find that way described throughout the Scriptures. And that way certainly includes instruction in doctrine. We ought to understand doctrine. But that understanding does not stop with having our doctrines in a row. Scripture shows the example over and over again. Whenever it gives a doctrinal section of a book, say like the book of Ephesians, it gives a doctrinal section, and then it shows that that doctrine is put into practice. Romans as well gives a doctrinal section, and then it goes on to a section that puts that doctrine into practice. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, in light of all that we have learned in the previous chapters, this is Romans, now Romans 12, present your bodies, a living sacrifice. Doctrine leads to practice. You find that in a passage like 2 Timothy 3:16. Scripture is the standard. Here's what 2 Timothy 3:16 says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And now we can apply this to all of us, but think of parents applying Scripture. Why may you not talk to your mother or father that way, young person? Why may you not be disrespectful? And then we show from Scripture and a multitude of other examples. Why may we not speak to others and cut them down? We show from Scripture. All Scripture is profitable for teaching the truth. Teaching the truth that governs all of our faith and life. It's profitable for doctrine and also for reproof and correction. Reproof convinces that someone is in the wrong way. And then correction says, here's how you get out of that wrong way. It corrects them. And that doctrine is, that Scripture is profitable for instruction in righteousness, to lead them in the right way. And what's the right way? What's the goal of bringing that Scripture? 2 Timothy 3:17. Says, all Scripture is profitable. And then verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Train up a child in the way he should go, equipped to do truly good works. Works that seek the glory of God. Works that are done according to His law. Truly good works that proceed from true faith. We want our children to manifest love for God. Lead them in the right way that manifests a love for God and for our neighbor. That's not salvation by good works. That's salvation unto good works. Train them in the right way. Train up our children in the way they should go by repeating over and over. I know sometimes as parents, we can get flustered because we have told our children how many times. But how many times does God have to tell us? We ought to repeat to our children over and over. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." And there's that constant repetition in different circumstances, and God uses that. And God applies that to the hearts of our elect children. Give verbal instruction. Give that instruction by speaking to our children. That's harder to do these days with cell phones, and our children maybe don't want to talk to us so much, but give instruction, speak to our children, and also, especially the younger ones, use the rod and reproof. Just as God chastens us who are His people, Hebrews 12, verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." So too, and Proverbs speaks of that as well. God gives us verbal instruction to use. We instruct our children that way, but also teaching them that sin has consequences. And just as God chastises us, we as parents ought to do the same. Repetition by verbal instruction, using the right chastisement, but also our example. Children learn from our example, parents. And our examples far outweigh the words that we speak. If our children see us gossiping and slandering, it should not be surprising if they walk in that same way. If our children see us speaking evil of the church, it should not be surprising that our children grow up in the same way. But that also works on the other side. Children view our example, and if they see parents who love the church and who give themselves for the good of the body, children learn that. And when children see us confessing our sins to one another, and forgiving one another and not holding grudges. They learn what that forgiveness looks like. When they see parents walking in humility and love towards one another and in the body of Christ, they learn from that. They learn from our example. Train up a child in the way he should go. And then God gives a promise. When he is old, he will not depart from it. That's not guaranteeing that every single child that we train will turn out to be one of God's children. But this certainly applies to those who are God's children, to those who are God's elect. God will bless that instruction. God will bless even the feeble efforts that we put forward to his children. God's promises are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ walked in the right way his whole life in perfect obedience, and in his perfect obedience he went to the cross, he earned for us, his people, all the blessings of salvation. We don't earn God's blessings upon our children by our instruction. That doesn't earn anything with God. God's promises are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. And what God is putting before us is the principle of reaping and sowing as it applies to the training of our children. Galatians 6, verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And Proverbs is full of those principles that show what we sow is what we will reap. Why is that so? That's not putting everything back on us, but that is the case because God sovereignly has determined to work in that way. How does God raise up the next generation? He puts us in godly families. And he uses even the feeble instruction of parents to bless our elect children. God has sovereignly determined to use those means to bless our children. That's the logical connection in the text. Train up a child in the way he should go, and this follows. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Sow in this way, and you shall also reap. When our children have been trained and initiated in the way, the elect will continue walking in that way. Whenever I preach about the training of children, I'm conscious of my own failings, but are we not all as parents conscious that we all fall short in the training of our children. We want to lead them in paths of righteousness, and we show our own sinfulness so often. We have failed to be proper examples. We have failed to speak to our children as we ought to speak to them. But then we come back to Jesus Christ, who paid for those sins, who suffered on the cross those torments that we deserved, and who paid by his sacrifice, earning all the blessings that God gives to us and to our elect children. God blesses us and our elect children for Christ's sake. It's not because we have done enough. It's not because we have earned anything. And when we know that, because we can easily become discouraged and maybe want to give up, but when we know that God is faithful to his promise, then we press on. When he blesses us for Christ's sake, then we press on in the training of our children. And we pray for grace. Pray that God would give to us the grace to train them as we ought, to be just as firm as we ought, not overly harsh, but not overly soft. We pray for the grace of the Holy Spirit to train our children. Pray for the grace of the Holy Spirit to give us strength in that way. And then we ask him to bless those feeble labors. Bless us even though we have fallen short, so that there would be another generation of children who want to serve our God. May God grant that. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we are weak and frail creatures, and we fall far short as parents. We pray that thou nevertheless bless our families and bless this congregation. May we, as parents, and may we as a congregation, train up our children in the way they should go. And bless, O Lord, our covenant youth. Forgive us where we have fallen short again. Guide us by thy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.